May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 146. 146. Where must a sinner fly who feels his guilty load and stands condemned to die out of the mouth of God? Can any door of hope be found? Not any shore on nature's ground. Hymn 146.
Thank you. We'll read from God's holy word, from the second epistle of Peter, chapter 1. Second epistle of Peter and chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Saviour Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavour that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honour and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Let us pray. O Lord, almighty and most gracious God, we do pray that thou wouldst be pleased to help us this night, that we may have that true sense, that true knowledge of thy power, O Lord. The power of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. O Lord, we may come in reverence before thee, for indeed thou art in the midst, thou who art our Lord and Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst draw near to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do draw us, and we will run after thee. Make us indeed truly to know thy power, thy majesty, the reality that thou art truly Lord. O Lord, flesh and blood cannot attain these things. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst be pleased to grant to thy Holy Spirit. And O Lord, to work and to speak in our hearts. O Lord, that the word may come with power. For where the word of a king is, there is power. Indeed, thou art mighty to save. O Lord, may we know that power in the forgiveness of sins, that power in bringing to repentance, that power in granting that newness of life, that resurrection power. O Lord, that thou wouldst be pleased to help us indeed, for without thee we can do nothing. And O Lord, bless us as we come to thy word, to help in speaking and in hearing. And may we not be forgetful hearers. O Lord, we do pray that we may truly meditate upon that which we consider, that which we speak of, that which we hear from thy holy word. And O Lord, we do pray for our friends here in the church and congregation and visiting friends also, that thou wouldst be pleased to grant thy blessing and thy favour upon each. And, O Lord, be with thy servant with us this night, and that thou hast blessed him in his labours and his ministry. And, O Lord, each of thy servants in their labours, may they be abundantly favoured and helped in the ministry of thy word. O Lord, we do pray that thou would speak through their labours and through the word. And that thou hast be pleased to grant truly a revival in our land and in the churches, where thy name is honoured and glorified. O Lord, do grant thy rich blessing, we pray. For, O Lord, we have no other hope but thee. O Lord, we look at the events in our nation, in Europe and throughout the world, and what terrible things, and war and death and destruction. And, O Lord, we see of corruption and vileness. O Lord, this truly is a fallen world. And, O Lord, our only hope is in thee. O Lord, do appear, we pray. Grant, O Lord, the resurrection power to raise us up, to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. O Lord, look in mercy in our nation, in our government and parliament. O Lord, that there may be those raised up that would fear thy name, that would be given that wisdom, what ought to be done. And O Lord, we do pray that thou hast grant peace in Europe, thou hast turned back the hand of the aggressor, and those terrible things that are taking place. O Lord, we do pray. In mercy, and O Lord, preserve us from wicked and unreasonable men. And O Lord, we would pray for thine encouragement. O Lord, so often we are buffeted by the adversary, tempted, tried, cast down. O Lord, do grant us thy help. O Lord, indeed we do pray for thy blessing upon the word as it goes forth the four corners of this earth. And, O Lord, that thy grace may be upon thy servants that do labour in places of danger, persecution, or poverty, or unrest. Those even that may be imprisoned for thy name, or have fled for their lives. So, Lord, that thou mightest be pleased to be with them, and bless the word as they minister. And, O Lord, we do pray for the raising up of more labourers, ministers of the everlasting gospel, those who would carry forth the word of truth. According to thy great command, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And, O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst be pleased to help. O Lord, our eyes are up unto thee. Do, O Lord, be with those that are sick at this time, and those that are unable to gather here, and the little ones, some that are unwell. O Lord, grant thy healing hand and thy strengthening hand upon each. Do, O Lord, bless the children and young people, that they may be guided and blessed by thee, that thou hast lead them in that right way. Be found redeeming the times, the days are evil. O Lord, do help them in their schooling, in their studies. Do provide for them that honourable and suitable employment. And, O Lord, lead and provide the godly husbands and wives. And, O Lord, we do pray for thy provision. O Lord, in these things. And, O Lord, that thou wouldst be very merciful to help. Do be with the cast down, or the tried, or the tempted, those that are in pain. O Lord, do grant thy help, we pray. And any that are unconcerned, O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst bring them to seek unto thee earnestly for the salvation of their souls. And thy precious promises they that seek shall find. And, O Lord, we do then come before thee and pray for thy help now, and ask for thy many mercies in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn number 761. 761. Show pity, Lord. O Lord, forgive. Let a repenting rebel live. Are not thy mercies large and free? May not a sinner trust in thee? Hymn 761.
Thank you.
May the Lord help us in turning to his holy word. And I'd particularly direct you to the second epistle of Peter, chapter 1 and verses 16 and 17. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honour and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. Truly we thank God that the gospel of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ is not a fable. Not that which is some story devised by man, or something that has been passed down from generation to generation, and every time it is transmitted it gets changed. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. The word of the Lord endureth forever. Well, in chapter 3 of this epistle, we read this: "There shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." It is not a cunningly devised fable that the Lord shall come again, that this world shall pass away. It is not a cunningly devised fable that each one of us, whether we are younger or older, must stand before the judgment seat of Christ, before the throne of Almighty God. It is not a story. It is not some denominational tradition, something that has been passed down from the fathers, nor is it some thing that is possible or might. For the Lord shall come again. Each one of us will pass from time to eternity. Each one of us does have an ever-dying soul. We each must give an account before God. We are each fallen sinners. We have each sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's like we might fire an arrow at a target, but alas, it comes short, falls short, misses the mark. We are sinners through and through. Sin is transgression of the law. That is the breaking of God's law. Literally, a transgression is to go across. To go across a line, to cross that line between right and wrong. The law of God is not a cunningly devised fable. It is not a line which can be rubbed out and moved into somewhere else. We live in a day when Every man does that which is right in his own eyes. A day when everyone thinks they are as gods, knowing good and evil. They're their own judges. Whatever a man thinks, or a woman thinks, or a child thinks, is right, must be right. If somebody sincerely believes something, well, we have to agree with it. This is the day that we live. But may we rather be redeeming the time, for the days are evil. But the law of God, the holy law, that, as it were, is a line that has been drawn by Almighty God. Who cannot lie. Who does not repent. As for God, his way is perfect. His judgments are perfect. He is holy. And that line, as it were, will not bend and deviate. Alas, we are crooked, utterly fallen, the heart of man deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And that's not a cunningly devised fable either. We live in a day when the motto often is heard: follow your own heart. Whatever your heart tells you, do it. Well, that is a sure way to eternal destruction. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Trust in our own heart, indeed, is a great folly and foolishness. And may we trust rather in a holy, yet merciful and gracious God. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For that holy law, it will not move. It will not change. That which is right and that which is wrong is decreed by a holy God. And sin is to transgress, as it were, to go across that line. And it is not a fable that the penalty for sin is death. Yes, in this life we see the outworkings of sin. We grow old, our bodies gradually in various ways show those signs of age. Even children. Struck me, having not, for various reasons, not been able to take the Sunday school for 3 years. See how scarcely I recognise some of you in 3 years, grown up. Others left the Sunday school and now as young adults. It's all a sign that we're growing older. It's not a cunningly devised fable. The one day we shall die. Or if we are alive, the Lord's second coming, we must each stand before the throne of God. Those of us who are older, we feel our increased years, perhaps infirmities, perhaps weaknesses. Perhaps not the strength and the stamina that we once had. There's a reminder that we must pass one day from this world. Indeed, Peter in this epistle, he knew that time was approaching when he must, according to the Lord's word, pass from this time, the time state, while it is yet today, into eternity. But he must surely soon depart this world. But what a mercy it is that the truth in Christ Jesus, the promises in Christ Jesus, that good hope in Christ Jesus, is not a cunningly devised fable. Moreover, I will endeavour that ye may be able after my decease, yes, you soon to depart this world, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle. Tabernacle is a tent. As it were, a temporary place. That which is put up and is taken down. I must put off this my tabernacle. Referring to his body, his life here on this earth. Indeed, this is not our home. No matter how hard we may try to make it our home, this is not our home. Well, for an unbeliever, as it were, this world is his home. We try to make it such. But for one who is a pilgrim and a stranger, the word stranger, more the sense in the old-fashioned English, signifies what we might say a foreigner, one who is in a foreign land. But we seek a heavenly country, a better country. We seek a heavenly home, for this is not our home. And how wonderful it is that it's not a cunningly devised fable that there is a new Jerusalem. That which we read of in God's holy word, it is true. How glorious indeed that place we read of in the book of Revelation, read of in prophecy in Ezekiel. The name of that city, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. The Lord is here, that place. To be with Christ, which is far better, is not a cunningly devised fable. And what an encouragement it is. What an encouragement and a strengthening it was in the by the Lord's hand for Peter here. He knew that he must shortly put off this my tabernacle. It wasn't to be a comfortable, quiet, peaceful death, we might say. To be cared for in bed and to be have that tender kindness shown to him, he is to be crucified. Agonizing death and public shame. The Lord had said indeed that he must follow there. The Lord had showed it unto him, as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Needful there that these things were not cunningly devised fables in such a calling there. We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the reality of sin and the reality of judgment. When such things are, it must be brought on to our soul by the Holy Spirit. To see the reality of these things, then truly indeed we do tremble, but the work of the Holy Spirit, well, that work of faith and of hope, that as we tremble at that solemn, and it is truly solemn, thought that we must, as the poet said, tremendous eternity, tremendous sound. But the Spirit grants that precious faith to pray. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, help me. There is that hope. A publican came unto the temple. He came that faith, that hope that the Lord would be merciful. He came to the temple, a temple, a type of Christ. He came unto Christ. Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Lord, have mercy upon me. That woman that was a sinner, evidently her life was a public scandal. But she came and wept at the feet of Jesus. We don't read of any words spoken aloud, but there was that cry in her heart for mercy. There was that display of her love unto the Lord Jesus, that hope that the Lord would have mercy upon her. And she was not ashamed of Jesus. She was not concerned what the others there would say of her. It was Jesus, and Jesus only. And she indeed received the blessing there at the feet of Jesus. As we read, son or daughter, thy sins which are many be all forgiven thee. Others received such a blessing, and the Lord indeed is the same yesterday and today and forever. It is not a cunningly devised fable that our Lord Jesus Christ has all power and authority to forgive sin. There is a reality in that mercy and grace. The devil may tempt and tempt and tempt, but it's all it's impossible. Well, with man, it is impossible. With God, nothing. With God, nothing shall be impossible. That is the cry of faith. Devil may say, well, there's no hope for you. But the word of God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's in Romans chapter 10. It's just as true as Romans chapter 8 and 9 concerning election and predestination. Those are glorious truths. But it's just as true in Romans 10. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And there is that wonderful gospel truth. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Indeed, when we have come and tasted of the Lord's mercies and grace and proved that these things are not cunningly devised fables and are known of the power of it, this we must testify that it was all of grace. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Oh, how wonderful it is that our Lord is a God of power and a majesty, mighty to save. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, saith the Lord. Oh, the Apostle Peter here, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is recounting that time when he and James and John went up into the Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord. And Elias or Elijah and Moses there appeared. And they were talking with Jesus. Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, one for Elias. For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, And the voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." And suddenly, when they had looked round about, they saw no man any more, save Jesus only with themselves. We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but are eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honour and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. And we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. A more sure word of prophecy. There clearly a reference unto the written word, the inspired, infallible, inerrant word. There on the holy mound they saw the Lord transfigured. His raiment became shining exceeding white as snow, as so no fuller on earth can white them. Shone forth the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I feel so impotent to stand here before you. I have no power to convey that, called to speak, to preach the truth. But oh, that the Lord would come by the power of the Spirit, that we may know, each of you, each of us, the reality and the power, the majesty of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God the Son, King of kings and Lord of lords. Lest we should come to chapel and sit in a pew week after week, or pick up the word of God, the Bible, and read it and have no sense of the presence, majesty, honour and glory of God in Christ Jesus. But here on that mount, the Lord Jesus Christ, transfigured, there displaying his truly God manifest in the flesh, truly God, truly man. Oh, may the Holy Spirit guide us into all truth, as it were, by in the Spirit to bring us to the heavenly mount, to see the power and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter was an eyewitness of the resurrection. An eyewitness of our Lord's sufferings. An eyewitness of the ascension of our Lord into heaven. We have these things recorded in Holy Scripture. We read in the opening preface in the Gospel according to Luke, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed," that we might know the certainty of it, the glory of it, the majesty of it, the mercy of it, the compassion in union with power of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, What is so striking on the Holy Mount, as we read in other parts of the Gospel accounts, that our Lord, they commenced walking up that mountain. Our Lord, in his sacred humanity, there was, far as they could see, there was nothing to the eye that it was Jesus. But then on the mount, transfigured before their eyes, shining forth as truly God the Son. We read likewise with other occasions. And they set off across the Sea of Galilee in the boat with Jesus. Then that storm arose. And they came to Jesus, said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And Jesus arose, and he rebuked the wind and the waves, and there was a great calm. What manner of man is this? There was that display of his divine power. But yet they then continued the journey across the sea with him in the boat. The feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000. There were just a few loaves and a few fishes, and the Lord took them in his hand, and he gave thanks and blessed them and broke them. But then that miraculous feeding, such that there was a great number of basketfuls of all the fragments and remnants that remained. It was the power of God. There on the Mount of Transfiguration, there the Lord appeared in his divine power and majesty. But his compassion, how beautiful it is. Reading the other account where we read of other details recorded, where they fell on their faces, that cloud descended upon them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And that voice from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And we read the Lord Jesus touched them. "Arise, be not afraid." There's that compassion, that touch. Indeed, that's not a cunningly devised fable, that we have a compassionate Lord, a merciful Lord, a one that comes just where we are, one that helps us, gives us that divine touch at a time of when we greatly fear. Or like Elijah, we come to the under the juniper tree and said, "It's enough, can't go on anymore." The Lord sent his angel there to strengthen him with that heavenly food, not once but twice. And he went in the strength of that food, that meat. It's not a cunningly devised fable, but it's a wonderful truth. The Lord touched them and said, "Arise." Well, that's the resurrection power. "Because I live, ye shall live also, saith the Lord. I am the resurrection and the life." That is not a cunningly devised fable, but it is the most wonderful hope, a good hope. The Lord has risen again. And as he is risen, so the church, his mystical body, rises with him. As he ascends into heaven, has ascended into heaven, so his mystical body ascends with him. Awaiting the consummation of all things, the Lord's second coming and the passing away of this world. There's another wonderful truth, which is not a cunningly devised fable. We find again on the Mount of Transfiguration, after the Lord had touched them. Arise, be not afraid. We read in Mark, and suddenly when they had looked round about, they saw no man anymore, save, that is, except Jesus only, with themselves. It was Jesus only. But Jesus was with them. That's a beautiful truth. It's not a fable. They saw no man anymore save Jesus only with themselves, that Jesus was with them. Though he was truly transfigured before them, and the one in whom the Father was well pleased, but he came and stooped and touched them. He said, arise, be not afraid. And they saw no man, it wasn't Elijah anymore or Moses, but Jesus only. But Jesus was with them. Emmanuel, God with us. That indeed is such a comfort. It's not a cunningly devised fable. That Jesus is with every true believer. What an encouragement it is. How much Peter needed that. How much we need that. We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The majesty of his glory displayed there. There's that majesty of his compassion in that touch. Our Lord Jesus Christ shed his precious blood, died in the sinner's place. I am the good shepherd, I lay down my life for the sheep. There's that wonderful truth expressed in Psalm 85. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Though we sinners, yet the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life in the sinner's place to redeem his one true church, fulfilled the holy law of God that we've broken, fulfilled it in all its fullness and so perfectly, body and soul. Mercy and truth are met together. For if it was so that, supposing it was so that the Lord should just ignore our sins, we could not, or somehow to, well, there is that, various false teachings that, well, there's no such thing as sin, or it doesn't matter. The Lord will overlook that. That is not the truth. The truth is, there must be that payment. There must be a payment on account of sin. And we are utterly unable to pay. Because our Lord paid it all. When he declared, it is finished. Those words in the original Greek are the words that were used to be written upon an invoice or a bill, as we might say, or a debt. It is finished. When it was paid, that's what would be written upon the debt, upon the bill. It is finished, it's paid. And our Lord has paid it. Paid it with precious blood. and is wrought out righteousness in it through his obedience in fulfilling all things on behalf of his beloved church, that we may be clothed in his righteousness. Laying hold of these things, my precious faith. Faith so as instrumental through faith, for the cause is grace, that unmerited love of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Mercy and truth are met together. The Lord has paid the price, has cleared the debt. And show such mercy and forgiveness and grace, full of grace and truth, we read concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honour and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Well, we read in John chapter 17, the Lord Jesus Christ, in that prayer just before he was to enter into his passion and crucifixion. "And I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." The Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, is speaking of that eternal love of God the Father, Father unto the Son. "The love wherewith thou hast loved me, that they may be in them and I in them. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." Oh, it is almost beyond human comprehension. We have that opening up, that applying of these things. Only by the Holy Spirit can we have any understanding of it. That love, that eternal love of the Father unto the Son, every true believer is made a partaker of it. Indeed, it is not a cunningly devised fable, but a wonderful truth. "The glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, to be with Christ, which is far better, to comfort that was to the Apostle Paul in that prison, again awaiting his execution. That they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world," is to be with Christ, which is far better. Our Lord said in chapter 14 of John, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive ye unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I can say personally, occasion when I was first brought into gospel liberty, and shortly after I was reading this part, and it came with a great power and comfort. Where I am, there ye may be also. I go and prepare a place for you. These are not cunningly devised fables, but there is the power of the Spirit. And many of us can testify for the power and the majesty of the Lord in answering prayer and working those things which are impossible with man. And those tokens of the Lord's majesty and power. On occasions we have seen the Lord's extraordinary answers to prayer, and we are astonished at the Lord's mercy and grace unto us, and how humbling it is that we are unworthy, but it's all for Jesus, in Jesus' name. And to have that, suddenly that sense of the reality and the power. These things are true. Blessedly true. But for those, as we read of, the scoffers that shall come in the last day, is terribly true in an awful sense. The very last word in the Bible is Amen. The title of Christ. I am the Amen. The word Amen is from a Hebrew word which means it's sure, it's certain. It's the last word in the written word of God. So we're a seal, title of Christ. It is truth. It is sure. We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who are eyewitnesses of his majesty. Well, that those last few verses of the scriptures. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. For the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He shall come. And every eye shall see. Surely I come quickly. Amen. It is sure. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Here we see the church, as it were, in response, in the Spirit, saying, even so come, Lord Jesus. That is how indeed the true believer, the true church, should be waiting, watching for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Alas, sometimes we're watching what everybody else is doing. Peter fell prey of that. Well, what will this man do? Looking at John. The Lord said, follow thou me. What is that unto thee? Follow thou me. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The devil is well pleased when we're distracted with all sorts of other things that take us away from looking unto Jesus. We can all be wrapped up in lots of seemingly holy things. But are we looking unto Jesus? The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were very, very religious and very holy and very outwardly upright and everything proper, and that they rejected Jesus. They hated him. They were looking for another Jesus, but not that when the true one came, they utterly rejected him. Or may be our desire to be looking unto Jesus, to follow him, awaiting his coming. And not in some idle sloth, but in that fervent service of the Lord, according to his word. Well, we have those words in that are commonly read at the Lord's table. In 1 Corinthians 11. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. It's those words, till he come. It's that witnessing. It's often commonly referred to those who are not sitting around the Lord's table and who sit at the back, referred to as witnessing. Well, those who are actually witnessing are those that are at the Lord's table. That is the testimony and the witness is being made. As oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show, that is, that testify, witness, the Lord's death till he come. How needful it is we give attention to his word and to the ordinances. An ordinance means a command of authority. That's what the word means. And it is for our good, it's for the honour and glory of God. That if we have a good hope in Christ, that if we have seen that this world is fallen, we're fallen, utterly condemned to death, died to all hope in this life. But yet have that good hope in Christ who has risen again. Shall we not show forth the Lord whom we love and testify of his grace? To follow him in those ordinances of baptism and the Lord's table? You do show the Lord's death till he come. We have not followed cunningly devised fables. When we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honour and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. Oh, that we may have ears to hear that voice. Let him that hath ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Timothy Pocock will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Jonathan Buss next Lord's Day, who will also administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. And God willing, there'll be a church meeting on the 7th of November. Our closing hymn is 120. 120. With joy we meditate the grace of our high priest above. His heart is made of tenderness, his bowels melt with love. 120.
Thank you.
We do pray for thy mercy and grace as we close this service. Do take us on our way this evening in peace and safety. Do, O Lord, bless thy word. And, O Lord, do forgive all that has been amiss. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen.